So I want you to understand what we're doing here is a lot of spirituality battle going on. Bible says, rest not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the high places. So we have the victory, like she said, and God has given us victory. I'm sure a lot of people have testimonies here. God bless you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just want to say thank you, Lord. You know, words fail us, but God interprets the language of our heart. But just keep that heart of gratitude as we leave this place. Do not let anything take your testimony or what God has done and what He's going to continue to do. Everything that we prayed for, it all came to pass. And we're forever grateful to you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. It's such a privilege and an honor to be a servant of the living God. You know, this morning the Lord was just impressing on my heart to thank each and every one of you. You are an amazing group. There was no quarrel. There was no complaints. Nothing. You know, people go on retreats, especially the majority women. It's always some conflict. But you guys, you were easygoing. Everybody loved on each other. There was unity. There was peace. There was cooperation with the program. 98% of the people came to the vigil. You know, those who couldn't come for one reason or the next, God understands. You came 5:30 in the morning. We called and you came. Thank you so much. Thank you. I just want to thank you, Sister Bibian. And don't go. Mr. B, I need you. Just keep your attitude of gratitude, because your attitude of gratitude is a weapon of mass destruction. I want to salute the generals that God has brought. The generals, they're generals. God loves this platform so much that He just brought His generals in to bring us to the next higher level. To bring us to the next higher level. Like I said yesterday, when Obama was president, he was young, he didn't know much, and he surrounded himself with the people that knew. I don't know anything, but God surrounded me with the people that knows. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. I know you have adopted this ministry. Thank you. God bless you. Brother Paul, he already said next year he's taking his vacation around that time of the retreat. I did not know the power of the strings until Pastor Conley explained it now, but all I knew, I just loved the strings, and I didn't know anybody, and the Holy Spirit just brought him. Our violinist, she came and invited guests to come and play the violin in April. Nobody knew the desire of my heart to have the acoustic guitar, and she just brought him in, and he fell in love with us, and we fell in love with him. And he's a lover of God. Hallelujah. So we're not going to take up too much time. But Sister Bibian have one thing that she wants to say. My King. You remember it? And then we're going to wrap up. Thank you so much for everybody that labored. Brother Greg, God bless you. God bless you. All the worshipers, my God, my sons, the musicians, they're generals too. Did you see? They just came, no complaints. They just played and played and played. Thank you so much. God bless you. Hallelujah. You see, Pastor, they were supposed to be gone a long time, but they can't even go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sister Bibian has one last tribute to our King. And then we're going to, unless somebody has something burning that they want to share. Unless you have something burning that you want to share.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I didn't even know we are still going to wait, you know. Can you still make it or do I just jump in? Actually, I'd ask them to play one snippy thing to usher us in. I am sharing My King. It's an adaptation of the write-up of Dr. Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, you know, one of the old pastors. And I modified it, adjusted it to suit us. Because they learned prose. Is it possible? So I said, if I'm going to talk about My King, I think it's absolutely necessary to usher in, bring him in with good, yes. Okay, yeah, to recognize his presence with the music. You know, when the kings are in presence, you don't just... You hear the sound, tam, pam, param, then you know the King is here, you know. But if he's not coming, I can do it with my voice. Okay. Right, Greg, you can skip it. Yeah, so be ready. My King. I couldn't get everything into my head. You know, as we progress in age, we have so many other things partitioning. So it's not easy to cram those things. The Bible says, He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He is unique. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He is supreme. He is preeminent. That's my King. He is the miracle of age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He is the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He is available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleans the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know this, my King? Well, my King is the King of knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Yeah! I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He is invisible. He is irresistible. I am trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Let alone a man explain him. How can I? You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your heads. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found that they could not stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death could not handle him. And the grave could not hold him. That's my king. He's always has been. And he always will be. I am talking about. He had no predecessor. And he will have no successor. There was nobody before him. And there will be nobody after him. You can't impeach him. And he's not going to resign. That's my king. Praise the Lord. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And the glory is all his. Thine kingdom and power and glory forever and ever and ever. That's my king. Do you know him? Is he your king? Is he your king? Is this your king? Stand up and recognize him with pomp and pageantry. The Bible says the shout of the king is amongst them. If this is your king, shout for your king. Shout hallelujah for your king of peace, the Lord of lords. Hold on, peace. Peace. You know, we in the modern world, we don't recognize kingship. We don't know what it is. The people of the ancient days knew. Esther had to fast 3 days to go before a king who was her husband. You don't even need excuse to talk to your husband. Ah, honey, have you, or you even call him his name? Even when he says he's going, say you're not going anywhere until we finish our talk. But Esther had to fast 3 days before going to the king. And the Bible says, unless the king sets out the scepter, the person will be killed. That will tell you how powerful the kings are. Queen Elizabeth, the great grandmother, the mother of Queen Victoria, was killed at the order of her husband, the king. So that will tell you how powerful the kings are. And in the olden days, you can't just come before a king without bearing gifts. The three wise men came to Jesus, King baby Jesus, with gifts. What gift are you bringing to my king you're shouting for now? You can't give him any material things because the earth is his and the fullness thereof. All he wants is the body, and we have given him our body. All these days we are here, we've given him our body, we've given him our intentions, so now we're going to give him our hearts of gratitude. Shout gratitude to your king! Show your king that you are grateful! Give your king a shout of gratitude! Giving him ourselves. It is. I put you in front of my melody. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. As you go now, that is what you'll be singing for him. Oh, way, oh, way.
Elder Joe, he just stood quiet in the back observing and writing, and I know he has something very powerful for us before we leave.
My name is Joseph Bradshaw. I hold an eldership in the Lord's house. We work ministry for Tabernacle of Praise, which is located in Brooklyn. I had the opportunity to come to this place called Blue Mountain. And it's really blue. But there's something significant about this place that only those who know God will come here. Or those who want to find more of God will come here. I had the opportunity to come through my granddaughter, great-great-grandmother. Sister Linda Collins. And I came because I was burdened. I was burdened because I want my family to be saved. And I want that God will give me longevity to do the work of ministry. In all my days sitting here, I jot a lot of notes. I like to write. I like to read. I like to study. And I didn't know that I was called to do something. But God put something within my spirit to just to encourage you. The Bible said that Paul says in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the world we live in, when a car is sick, you take it to a mechanic. When a house is broken down, you go to someone that do home improvement. When you want to make a cake, you go to a baker. But when you want to come to God to do something to God, you have to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not everybody wants to give up what they so get accustomed to. We live in a world whereby everybody wants to be all that they could be, but not what God expects them to be. So we say that change is hard. Nobody wants to change. Everybody wants to stay the same way because they get so accustomed to the way they live. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have to change. If you want results, not only in your job, not only in your school, not only in your family, not only wherever you fellowship or worship. So Paul is telling us the only way that God can get to us, we have to give God access. Access to our bodies, our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit. Access to our tongue. Access to our eyes. Because the scripture have verses that have to do with every member of our bodies. And for some of us, we know that God wants us to do something great. But we tend to be on the wall looking to see who's going to go for us. But I believe that each and every one of us who are here have an assignment to fulfill. And God has been speaking to you for years, for months. Give me what you want to hold back. You know, when you emptying out your house or you want to have a yard sale, you don't give the things that you just have in the closet hung up for years. You give the old stuff. Or if somebody come in the church and say, we're picking up clothing, we want to give the bad stuff to the people and hold back the stuff that we are not using. We just have it there as a symbol of just watching. But God is saying that if you want me to do something for you, give me your best. What is your best? Me. You. Give me what you know. If you really humble yourself before God, God will be able to change you into something that you have been praying for all these years, and he could have changed your environment. You see, the Romans were people who were very bold. They used to go wherever and do whatever they wanted to do, but they forget that they were born again. So Paul was to write a very strong letter to them. I beseech you, therefore, brother, present your bodies a living. Put it on the altar of sacrifice slain. How do I do that? I learn how to pray and fast. I thank God for my sister here who tell me about fasting helps your body develop into something great. See, I was delivered from prostate cancer. Now, this diabetic thing, I don't know why getting this problem with me, but I believe God that my body will be a living sacrifice from today. The Bible said that when the potter get the clay, he makes sure that this clay yield itself through his fingers to form the kind of vessel that he needs to put in the showroom. So when people come, they say, wow, I need that. Wow, I need this. We are wasting time. All of us here are vessels to be used of God. But how many of us want to be in the potter's hands? There are too many lumps in our bodies that is preventing God from coming in. Give him access. Give him access. Let him walk with you. You and I don't know nothing. But if we give this body to God, God will fill it with such an anointing that it will be reckoned with in your ministry, in your home, on your job. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed from the inside out. You know, some people dress and they think, when I dress, that means I'm anointed. But that's crap. Anointing comes from the inside out. It's the anointing that draws people to you. Not the sweet words that you say. It's the anointing of God draw people to you. I remember the first time I fasted and prayed for 21 days, all I did was drink water with a little lime squeeze in it. When I came out of that 21 days of fasting and praying, God had given me the spirit of discernment. And there were some things I was discerning in church. My pastor kind of get jealous. Poor me. Didn't have a house, a car. Didn't have nothing but just a little room with some holes in it where the roaches come through. And you had to slap yourself in the ghetto. In Trinidad, you know back home. Back home was a humble experience. But I love God. I want to see the most of God in my life. So this is a time that we have to transform ourselves. Don't get the worldly views into every time I talk to somebody. It's always something carnal. nothing spiritual. So I can't hang with you. So if I don't talk to you, don't think I hate you. It's because you're carnal. We have to learn to talk spiritual things to each other. That whenever we meet, I don't want to hear about Susie's problem. I want to hear about what God did for you. What he could do for me when you talk to me. Because this is something that we have to resonate in our spirit. We are no more carnal people. We are spiritual people. Called with a spiritual calling to do the work of ministry. Every one of us here have ministry in us. But who gonna detect it? God, if we present our bodies as a... Because there are some things in our body that needs to be burnt. People is one. Gossip is two. Envy and strife and jealousy is five. We need to get rid of all these fleshly desires and allow God to take over our bodies. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. You're going to find new things. You know, when I used to go to high school, I thought the girls was cute. Hey, come to college. Come to college, go higher. And that is something that God has wanted us to do. You think you're okay with a high school diploma. Come higher, come to college. And let God show you the kind of people that you could associate with to build your life. So if I come next year and you come to me, give me spiritual things. I'm warning you now. I don't want to hear, well, you know, my son and my this, my that. All right, you hear it today? I'm hearing it today. Next year, I want to see a change. I want to see a son here. We could do it. And I'll end with this. You know, when my father died at the age of 12, I didn't have a father again. I was a Catholic. My mother used to take us to church every day. They had 1 week for men, 1 week for women. And you better not say you don't want to go. But when my father died, I went to God and I said, God, daddy died. And I was just talking to him. And I said, I want a father. And he led me to a church that a brother was speaking to me all the time. Every time the brother passed, he sees me in the corner hanging out, you know, looking at the girls and whatever. And then he started talking to me. And then he invited me to church. Minister Jewel, after I went to church, this is the first time in my life I get so much hugs, so much handshake, so much hello, how are you, how is everything? And from that day, I never turned back. It's been 49 years now I'm with the Lord. Oh, yes, we go up, we go down, we go across, we go this. But my eyes are still focused on Christ. So make this a pledge that when you go back, you're going to make your body as a living sacrifice. How to do that? Pray and fast. Read the Psalms. Read the book of Proverbs. Read the book of Solomon. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Read the book of Deuteronomy. And start to talk to God and tell God. You'll be surprised to know some things will come out of your mouth. Because when you're in pressure, when you're under pressure, you say things, right? You say things, some things when you're under pressure. I was under pressure, no food in my house, and I had 3 kids. And I went to God and said, God, let me tell you something. I could say that to God because I have a relationship with him. I don't know about you. You allow me to leave everything in this world, woman, wine, and song, to come to follow you. And right now, things is bad. I don't know if the neighbor was hearing me, but God answered prayer. And I tell God, I say, God, you got to meet my needs, or else I'm going back out there. You see, one thing God knows, that I was a socialite back home. I used to socialize with a lot of people, so I had a lot of friends. God changed that. Yes, he made me become a socialite, but for his glory, and for his honor, and for his praise. So you're looking at someone who have been through and still going through. But God is on the head of my life. We could do this. Someone talk about the young people bolting out of this ministry. I want to see them. I'm going to try and bring my 3 children and my grandchildren next year. Honestly, I'm believing God. Because when I close my eyes, I want to tell God, or I want to hear God say, "Thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." I don't want to hear, "Depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire," which was prepared for the devils and his angels. This thing is real. This Jesus business is real. So when we meet together, let's congregate and talk about Jesus. Talk about your problems and all this kind of thing. I believe that God has given you power to solve your own problem. People don't pray for me. I pray for me. I go to God for me. I don't go to my pastor with my problem. I go to God. God has called us to be teachers and preachers and whatever in the Bible, but we have to sacrifice ourselves. You're not too old to sacrifice yourself. So when Jane called you and said, "We're going on long day," tell she, "Jane, let me tell you something, get saved, or else you can't talk to me no more." We have to be like that. We're living in some crucial time. Let Jane know that Jesus saved. You've been with Jane for years and Jane didn't get saved. Something is wrong with your salvation. What are you telling Jane? But I just want to say that I thank you very much for allowing me to come here. The invitation is wonderful, was wonderful. I really talked with my wife over the week, and let me tell you, I'm believing God for her to come. I know that we're serving God together in the body of Christ, and I'm trusting that next year she will be with me. Amen. You know, so. Minister Jewel, I really want to thank you. I know you for a couple of weeks, but I think I know you for years. You know, so we have this bond. So I will continue to support the ministry every month. I'll be able to give out of my mercy, my bowels of mercy, and allow God to advance this ministry. Because you're tired. Sometimes you sit at church and you ain't being fed. You better find some way to be fed. You're not abandoning your church, but you're going to find somewhere to be fed. And I believe this is one of the ministries that I will come and just be a servant. That's all I want to be, a servant of God. Nothing else. Titles don't move me. Them thing don't move me. I just want to be a servant of God. Amen. God bless you.
I thank God for obedience, because I knew he had something that God wanted him to say to us today. Praise God. And then I'm going to call my new beautiful, you need to say something. I just want to call my new sister Peace. God bless you. Thank you so much. I love you. I have to tell you this. So, Pastor Conley, he was scheduled for a trip in Jerusalem. And I kept asking about him. Is he coming to Brother Mike? And he said no, because he has a trip in Jerusalem. So, about a week or 2 weeks before the retreat, out of the blues, I got a call. Everything canceled out of the way so he could make it here. And he paid for his wife's airfare to be here. And I'm trying to force him to take a little seat in his ministry, and he's refusing. I truly thank God for you. You know, God will send people to validate what he's doing, what he is doing. Because without some generals coming to validate the work of God, people will still just take you for granted. And believe me, planning for this retreat, I was truly taken for granted. But I thank God that God has validated his purpose and his presence and his hand on this ministry. Glory to God.